Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the St. Patrick's Day meeting of the Morro Bay Planning Commission. I am told by staff that there will be no green beer at intermission. Darn it. We'll start our meeting as we usually do with a moment of silence. Okay, thank you. If you'd all like to rise and join us in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you very much. This is a time set aside. Let the record reflect that we have a quorum and that the meeting is called to order, and we will start with announcements on the part of the planning commissioners. Any announcements? Richard?
Yes. On Easter Sunday, there's going to be a Easter service at the Rock, and it's something that me and my grandson, we did security already. This will be our fourth time. He's 7 years old, so. And it's sunrise and 10 o'clock, and everybody's welcome. There's coffee and nice pastries and stuff, too. So if you're surfing out there, just stop by, get a cup, and then go back in the water, too.
I'd just like to mention the fact that last week I attended, the first meeting of a group of Morro Bay citizens. It's sort of being headed up by Councilman Smuckler to look at the possibility of establishing a green belt around the city, and that's going to be an ongoing effort. I'd like to encourage anyone in the community that would like to get involved in that to get involved. It's a good time to do it, you know, before this community becomes Morro Yucas or Oso Morro, or, you know, there was a time not too long ago when Glendale and Los Angeles were not the same place, and so now's the time to start working on that. I have on my agenda that we're going to elect the chair and vice chair, but I think we did that already, so that was embarrassing enough once, so we won't do it again.
are we sure that we like the outcome?
Yeah. Is this a recall? Okay, so this is the time for members of the public to comment on items which are not on tonight's agenda. So anyone who's out here and would like to speak to the community or to the commission, please come forward, give us your name, and let us hear from you.
Good evening, commissioners. I'm Casey Caldwell. I'm a Morro Bay resident. And I want to announce that the Neighborhood Compatibility Coalition is meeting on Wednesday, March 25th, from 7 to 8 p.m. at the Morro Bay Community Center, 1001 Kennedy Way, down there across from Albertsons and the library. I'd like to invite the PC, Planning Commission, and the public to attend. The topics of discussion at this meeting are private view protection and getting provisions in the general plan that require thoughtful and respectful development. We'll talk about what other cities are doing around California. There are several cities that have already passed laws to protect private views and have neighborhood compatibility guidelines that are thorough and well-drafted. So I hope that you'll come out. I hope the public will come out and support us and get involved. We'll have these really nice T-shirts for sale so you can support the cause. It's NECO for Neighborhood Compatibility Coalition, and that's where everybody counts or nobody counts. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Could you repeat the date and time, please?
Thank you. I'd love to. It's Wednesday, March 25th, and it's from 7 to 8 p.m. at the Morro Bay Community Center, and it'll be in the back of the building, back past the senior center part. So we hope to see you there. And if anyone has any questions, they can call me. My phone number is 540-1470. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Casey. Anyone else like to speak? No? Some of us are old enough to remember when Necco were those little wafers that you... Okay. Moving on to the consent calendar, we have only the current and advanced planning processing list. Are there any questions or comments, or would staff like to make any remarks or point anything out?
No comments.
Okay. So do we have a motion to accept that?
So moved.
I'll second.
Okay. In favor? Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. Passes unanimously. So we'll move on to our public hearing for this evening. This is case number CP0-446 and UP0-406 involving a property at 219 Marina Street here in Morro Bay. And I believe that Whitney is going to talk to us about this.
Good evening, commissioners, members of the public. Yes, this is a project that's an addition to a non-conforming structure on a lot that's about 6,000 square feet, a conforming lot in Morro Bay on Marina Street. It's at the top of the bluff that overlooks the Embarcadero. You might be able to see that on that little vicinity map up there. This is a view of the existing house on the site looking from Marina. And the proposed sort of facade renewal of the existing house, and you can see part of the addition toward the back there. This is a photo simulation of the proposed design looking up from Embarcadero. Down below is now just pretty much of an empty lot that's sort of informally used for parking. I think the site plan is going to be a little difficult to read from here, but on the westerly side of the lot is pretty much the top of bluff, and then it slopes pretty steeply. Eastward from that point, it's relatively flat. And this site topography plan shows the existing structure on the site. So this is the proposed site plan. Most of the addition is, all of the addition really, is to the rear of what's existing right now. It does definitely expand the footprint on the lot. This is just a little slide that shows helical piers, which we'll talk about later in terms of development on the bluff top. The project the addition does comply with zoning site development standards. The existing house is non-conforming in terms of its front setback, which is 15 feet versus 20 feet that's required, and the height is 26 plus feet, where 25 is the maximum allowed height. At the time the building was built, the property was zoned R4, and it met the standards of that particular time. But things have changed. Now it is zoned R2. We'll get back to that if I misspoke. These are elevation drawings just coming up. So, again, a view from Marina Street. This would be the rear of the house looking north. The west elevation looking out over Embarcadero, and the east elevation looking inland. And then I just have a few more here. There is a roof deck proposed over a portion of the new addition. It's approximately right here. And then this is the remodeled upper level of the existing structure, which a little elevator right over here, which we may discuss in a minute. And then finally the lower floor plan. So again, the remodeled existing, and then the new structure, new garage to the rear of the lot. I think that pretty much ends our slides. There are a few issues with this project that we may discuss. I'll just say that staff is recommending approval subject to conditions and findings in the resolution. But some of the issues, just to go through a few things, are related to the height limitations. It was pointed out to me, and I can't believe that I really missed this. The elevator that's proposed on the for the building has a new roof to it, and it is approximately 22 feet tall. So within 50 feet of the bluff, in the bluff setback area, in this particular part of the bluff, the maximum height is 17 feet for gabled or roofs that have a pitch of like 4 and 12 or greater. For flat roofs, it's only 14 feet. So technically this new roof, even though it is lower and part of the existing structure, which already is nonconforming, does exceed that particular maximum height limit, as do a couple of chimneys, one existing. Maybe I can unfade this. Oh, this isn't good. Oh, it went away. Very sad. Oh, not good. My helper is coming out right now. So there is a section in our zoning ordinance that allows for certain roof mechanical chimneys, that kind of thing, to exceed the otherwise maximum height subject to use permit approval. So that issue is before you this evening. Thank you. We'll just get an elevation. You can see in this particular elevation, right at the center of the two-story structure is an existing chimney. Staff is going to recommend that go away. It really doesn't need to be there, actually, as part of this project. So that would reduce, let's get this. It's sort of toward the center, top center of this view from Marina Street. Is that from Marina? Yeah. No, actually, that's north. That's from the back. Okay, there it is, from Marina Street. There is the other chimney that kind of overlooks the Embarcadero. It also is technically higher than, obviously, 17 feet. And here is the roof for the elevator. So there is an allowance. I mean, as I noted, there is a provision in the zoning ordinance to allow those kind of height exceptions, and that will be up to your commission to determine if any or all of them go away. Another potential issue with this project has to do with landscaping, site development. Oh, let's go to this slide. So you can see, where's my little guy? A portion of the front patio is actually outside the property line and in the right-of-way proposed. This is not an uncommon situation in Morro Bay, as we all know. There are lots of similar situations. However, there is sort of a preponderance of hardscape proposed with this project, and in the bluff development standards, it even talks about where you're working on the bluff face and not, in fact, building, which you're allowed to do here in the Embarcadero. Drought tolerant, erosion control, native kinds of plantings are recommended. And so you may want to weigh in on if all of this patio area goes or stays or part of it goes and is replaced with landscaping and also this development here in the right-of-way. I would note that our Public Works Department didn't have a particular objection to this second retaining wall and patio development. They would just need to get a special encroachment permit. And then finally, I did have some questions. I'm trying to see here. About, these don't show so well, about actually development right up on the bluff and what the ramifications are with the foundation and grading, and given some standards that we have that speak to maintaining the natural landform and not using retaining walls. I will try and answer some questions regarding that if you still have those, and I may also look to the architect to help me address those. So without prolonging my presentation, I'm happy to answer questions, and we can draft some additional conditions if necessary or adjust them. But we are recommending approval. And so I will quit talking now and try and answer your questions.
Whitney, you described this as a duplex lot. This is zoned for a duplex?
Our R2 zoning is called duplex residential.
Mm-hmm. And in our housing element, doesn't it speak to not taking multifamily potential lots and turning them into single family lots?
It does speak to that. In our zoning ordinance, single family houses are still allowed in an R2 zone, but not, for instance, I think we're looking at eliminating that allowance in higher density, especially R4 residential zones.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so this is not a debatable issue for this one?
Not really.
Okay. And then the other thing is, with the new construction, why isn't it at the new setback line?
And which setback are we talking about?
The 20-foot setback.
Because very interestingly, between Surf and Anchor Street, on this bluff area that sort of overlooks the Embarcadero, we have special development standards in place, kind of recognizing historical development in that area where buildings and different structures have come down the bluff face and been built right to the edge, and sort of realizing that there would be a continuation of that kind of development, hotels maybe that would back right up into the bluff. We have that in various different areas. So this part of town has its own special development standards that allow for development in the otherwise bluff setback area and even down the face of the bluff, subject to having a geologic report prepared, which they did.
So the setback's not really applicable.
So the bluff setback in this area is not applicable, but the side yard, you know, zoning kind of setback still would be.
And I guess that's it for now. Thanks.
We do have a bluff height limitation setback, don't we?
We do.
Okay. And that, it seems like...
That's the 50 feet, within 50 feet of the bluff edge.
Right.
It's 14 feet for flat roof structures and 17 feet for 4 and 12 or greater pitched roof structures.
Okay. Seems like several parts of this building are above that section. There's a screening wall that's not a 4 and 12 pitch that's above our 14 foot, and it looks like it's inside the
That screens the equipment, I believe that is outside the 50-foot setback. Okay. It's not. He's shaking his head no.
I don't think so.
Okay. I'm looking at my plans.
But it's...
I'm sorry, are you talking about the screen on the roof deck?
Yes, the screening for the dual-pack system, for the roof, roof HVAC, HVAC.
So that's there. So that
it's
is
not clearly delineated on my plans, which is inside that 14-foot
okay.
And what's 17-foot that I can see.
I think I looked at that. I think it's right at 17, which is allowable with a pitched roof.
But it's not a pitched roof.
That part is not. No.
Yeah, so the part of the pitched roof is fine. I'm just concerned about the screening that's above the 14-foot height.
Well, that kind of falls into that same basket of, I guess, elevator roof, good call, chimneys, mechanical screening. You could choose to make an exception to allow that to happen, or you could choose to not allow that height exception.
And then does the glass railing fit in that same basket of?
Yeah, it absolutely does.
Okay, and that's a new structure, correct?
It is a new structure, and the thing about that is that in other S2 zoned areas which have that same similar 14-foot for flat roofed and 17-foot for pitched roof structures, it's specifically called out. No, this 14-foot applies also to deck railings, but in this Embarcadero area, it's not specifically called out. So I don't know if that was an omission, if we should apply that conservatively here as well. Or I don't know.
Okay. And then according to the building codes that I'm familiar with, you need to have a hard edge. You can't have a glass edge on the top of the railing. So this shows a curved glass edge. I believe it would need to be a hard metal protectant on the top edge.
I hope you'll save that question for the architect,
okay.
Too.
Okay, good. The other question I have is, what is the height limitation on the property to the west of that? What's the?
The property to the west down below?
Yeah, down below.
Oh, that's a really good question.
Because I'm wondering what the build-out height would be on that property and how it
it's going to be 25 or 30 feet.
So, and we're at baseline 26 feet. Do you know the elevation of that property? It's probably not much above sea level.
I'm not absolutely certain. I'd have to dig around a little. I'm just trying to think of how tall that bluff is.
The geology report said 16 feet. Said the bluff was 16 feet.
That's what I was thinking. It seems like it's taller, but it may just be 16 feet. Yeah.
It may be the height of this building adjacent in the picture. I mean, that looks to me like...
Well, we've got a topo called out at 25 feet at the property line on the topo. So I'm just wondering how high that west, the property to the west could be built out at.
I'm going to say 30 feet, and if I'm wrong, I'm going to get back to you after I look at my zoning regulations.
And we're probably at least 8 feet above sea level at that point for that baseline for that property.
So that's your other, okay, I'll look on my topo map as well.
Okay, I think that's it for now. Thank you. Thank you, Vinny.
Richard?
Can you just expand on the helical piers that you have pictured, or do you want to save that for later?
Couldn't hear you back there.
The helical piers you mentioned, and you said you were going to talk about them later?
Sure. Because this site sits kind of at the edge of a slope, and they're developing very close and even down, that slope face. And just due to the nature of soils there, they're kind of alluvial soils is what I understand. The idea is to provide a foundation, a solid foundation that does not surcharge that slope or in any way rely on it structurally, because that would be a very bad idea. And and just given the steepness of the slope and just basic engineering of foundations, these helical piers allow for that additional structural support without surcharging on that slope.
And you probably have it. How deep are they going?
I'm not sure if they know exactly right now, and again, I'll let the architect answer that, but I think I heard somewhere in the vicinity of 7 feet. So it's not like, you know, to China.
That's it. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I had one question about the front setback, Whitney. And I apologize I didn't bring this up sooner. It just kind of occurred to me now. It seems to me I recall a provision, and correct me if I'm wrong, for a reduced front setback in residential areas that are already developed, such that if all of the other houses have a reduced setback, you can go. And just looking, Google Earth, hello. I'm just looking at the setback of all the other residences along that street, and it actually looks like the existing house here is one of the furthest back from the street. So would that provision regarding reduced setback in developed residential areas, would that not apply here and make the front setback actually conforming?
It quite possibly could. That's not something that they applied for. I forget if that just requires a minor use permit or use permit approval for the averaging of the street yard setbacks. And I know that house does, you're right, it does set back a little bit further than some of the others just going up the street. I haven't looked at that exactly, but it could apply here.
Could potentially be
to their conforming. Advantage to make that not non-conforming.
Right. Okay.
But that would require, I believe it's, generally, it's an administrative use permit to acknowledge that. It's not just a given, I don't think.
Okay. No more questions? So we're going to open this up to public comment, and traditionally we would ask the applicant or the applicant's representative to speak first. So please come forward and tell us who you are, and let's hear from you.
Good evening. Chris Parker, the architect on the project. I think Whitney did a great presentation. I brought a few slides as well. Is there a...
Yes, here you are.
They're somewhat redundant, so I'll just kind of pop through them, but some of them might show the project a little more visible for you. Existing photos of the site. These are the proposed renderings of the site, showing it both from Embarcadero area and up above the property on Marina. Basically, we're looking to use materials such as cement siding, metal roofing, and permeable pavers. As you saw on the landscape plan, there is a decent amount of pavers. We're replacing the driveway with them as well, but we chose to go with the permeable pavers to help let the water trickle back down to the site. But one of the keys we'll want to address and make sure we adhere to based on the geo study is to keep the water away from the bluff area. So we'll basically be draining stuff back to inland portions of the site. There was the color board there, basically white windows and trim, the tan siding I mentioned, and the metal roofing. These are what will kind of show the project a little bit easier to see. The dark blue area is the existing footprint of the structure. We basically have the existing site plan and the new site plan. The light blue turquoise color, that's indicating the area of our addition, the new footprint area. Basically, this is floor plan showing the existing area and the new area. Same correlation. The light blue is the addition of the lower floor. And then on the upper floor, we basically have the dark blue is the existing footprint, and the greens are the deck areas. And then we have our exterior elevations. Try to address a couple of the comments on the glass railing. I believe with a thicker edge, we'll be able to handle it because we're only going 12 to 14 inches, or I believe it was 24 inches in height. Our other alternative to that, though, which wouldn't be as appealing for public, would be to bring that sloped roof up to that height, because we can actually go up to the 17-foot limit with that sloped roof because it's larger than the 4 and 12. But we figure leaving the glass down would kind of break up the mass unit a little bit as well. Trying to think of what some of the other comments were. But if I'll be here if you guys have more comments and questions. Hopefully I've addressed them and Whitney's addressed them as well. Thank you.
Yeah. Okay. Why don't you just stay there, okay. Mr. Parker, and we'll see if there's any questions from the commission. We could. Okay, that's fine. Okay, we'll get back to you in a minute. Okay, so anyone else who would like to comment? Sure, come forward.
We're the Costas.
Good evening. I'm Dave Costa, and we reside at 7575 18th Avenue in Lemoore, and also our second home is at 737 Piney Way here in Morro Bay, which we've lived here for over 20 years. The project where it came from has been in the family. My aunt moved here, and I was with her in 1964. Bought the property. In fact, we looked at one right above your building here, and we looked at the one on the Embarcadero. Chose that one. They lived there for all those years. And then, in fact, when Sharon and I were at Cal Poly going to school there, we used to take care of that house for my aunt, and we'd come over there and spend weekends there and stuff like that. It's always been in the family. So we were the ones that my aunt wanted us to build next to them to help take care of them. So that's where this multiple unit came from. And we were going to build in there. And then my uncle, her husband, got sick, and he got ill, and they thought it would be too much for them. So what Sharon and I did is we bought a place up the street on 737 Piney Way. We lived up there, so that way we can come down, keep an eye on them, take care of stuff like that. And so over time, she lived to be almost 100 years old, 99 and 10 months. It's a beautiful area to live, and people live a long time in that neighborhood. And so she passed it on, gave it to us. And so we're trying to carry on the family tradition, clean it up, fix it up, turn it into a really nice place there on the bluff so our families can spend time like we did for the last 50 years coming to this location. Mm-hmm. So that's our project.
And our grandchildren now, so it'll be like the fourth generation enjoying already. And we're committed to Morro Bay, and we're happy to be here. So.
Thank you. So thank you.
Hi, my name is David Booker, and I own a condo unit in Sea Harbor Villas, Unit 3D, which is to the north. Would that be correct? To the north of this project. And my only concern, one, I've never been to one of these meetings, and two, my only was just maintaining the view corridor, if that's the right word to use, and it appears that the applicant's done a nice job to keep the view as you're looking from, I guess, the east elevation.
See, this is where I think we need to be. Would that be correct, Mr. Constantine? And then, so we would still be able to look out and have this view here, which is, I think, wonderful. So I heard somebody mentioning, you know, like raising the roof some more on the addition. I
like it the way the applicant has it, and I like the glass railing, and it appears that they're trying to preserve a view corridor for the rest of us folks, you know, that live back up the hill a little bit. You know, I had a question that came up. What happens to them when somebody builds, you know, down below in that parking lot there with that elevation, do they get blocked? Or is there some protection? That would be my only concern is if I owned that house, you know, I'd be concerned about the elevation of what's built in front of me, just like I am now. So anyway, my concern originally was I thought they're going to have blocked the view corridor. I can see that it's not going to be, and I compliment the applicant for that.
Casey Caldwell again with the Neighborhood Compatibility Coalition, and I have a few concerns. One is the first and second photo that the architect showed really gave the impression that the house to the east behind this structure will have its view completely annihilated. You can see when he goes from one screen to the next screen, that house just disappears. So I'm concerned about that. I'm concerned that this structure is nearly doubling in size to almost 4,000 square feet. There were a lot of unanswered questions with the staff, things that I think still need to be addressed and looked into. One comment that concerned me was that it may not be in line with the development codes, but there are a lot of houses around that aren't, and I don't think that's any reason to continue doing things that aren't to Hoyle. I'd also ask the Planning Commission to consider an overlay, because when I see the photograph of the existing structure, which was shown first in the staff report, I never saw another photo of the existing structure with an overlay or in a comparison. All the new drawings are quite lovely, but I can't get a feel for how much bigger this thing is going to look. I don't know if story poles are called for, but what I would like to do is remind the Planning Commission of the principles of neighborhood compatibility and hope that you will address those with this particular project. I think you are all doing just a great job. Thank you.
Good evening. My name is Janet Rydell. I'm a resident of Memorial Bay. I live on Bernardo Avenue. And I became interested a while back in neighborhood compatibility and also views that are blocked, because I had a personal experience with that. So my question tonight is, are there any other people that would have their view blocked as a result of the plans that they made? That was my only question. I don't know who to address that to, but I hope that's taken into consideration. Thank you.
Thank you.
My name is Vicki Ryle. I live at 229 Marina, which is two houses to the east of this project. And as far as blocking views are concerned, I think that most of the construction is low. The house, the original house, blocks the views that's going to be blocked. As far as the people immediately to the east of them, they have looked it over themselves, and if you see their house is very low, they will have a slight view at the back of their house of the rock blocked from the garage, but most of their view is at the front looking towards the South Bay. And they express no objection to the plans. We feel that the Costas have done a very nice job of remodeling and adding on to this property. Even David has mentioned that they're trying to lower some elevations there that help us have a better view, too. And we appreciate their concern for the neighborhood.
Okay. Anyone else would like to speak? So we'll, with that, we'll bring it back to the commission for discussion, questions. If you'd like to ask questions of the architect, this would be the time to do it.
Yeah, Chris? Just some clarifications.
Yeah.
I didn't see a section in the drawings. I might have missed it, but I didn't see one. What is the ceiling height on the proposed area below the deck, and what's your elevation above the first finished floor of the deck, of the walking surface of the deck?
So the proposed plate height, I believe, or ceiling height of the lower floor is 9 foot.
9 foot.
But what was the fall of the height of?
Yeah, what's your, you know, on this deck area that's new, where you have the glass railing?
Yes.
What's the elevation on the finished floor of the deck?
Basically a foot above that, or 13 inches above that.
You're basically 10 foot above first floor?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
For your TJIs and plywood, basically.
Okay. And was there any reason, you know, why did you do, what was your thinking in putting the dual pack on top of the roof instead of in the attic space of the garage?
You know, they were wanting a dual pack unit, and I believe that was the follow-up question I think I left off was about the screening. I believe actually somewhere in the code it's required that we screen that.
But
that was just kind of their choice to use a dual pack unit on the roof, an exterior unit.
Okay, is there any reason why you would choose that over a horizontal flow HVA system that could be mounted in the attic space?
Trying to think how the garage may have room to get all that fit in. It's a decent slope to it, so that may be an option on that. I'd have to confer with them. Okay. But that 50-foot setback is right before that. That was, if you can look on the elevation, you can see where the 50-foot line is.
Okay.
And it was right before that. We kept that screening on the further side of that 50-foot line. But it was just the owner's preference to have the dual pack unit, the exterior unit.
Okay, was there a cost consideration on that, or did
it? I think it one or the other, yeah.
Okay, it just seems like, you know, that roof line, you did a real nice job of tapering that roof line to to allow more sunlight to the neighbors and stuff.
Yeah.
And then you put the screening on there. It seemed a little incongruous.
Yeah, and I think the screening was kind of a follow up of going through the code, and it said mechanical equipment needed to be screened, so it was kind of the follow up of that.
Okay. Would you be opposed to investigating looking at a horizontal flow unit in the attic space?
Yeah, I mean, we can investigate that. I don't think they have an issue with investigating that issue.
Okay, great. Let's see. And so then that railing height, once again, that seems to be it is an issue over on the west facing deck. I'm not really concerned about it on the north facing, but it seems like on the east, on the west facing.
And now that screening, there's the garage roof beyond that as well. So I think Whitney kind of mentioned that in her report, was we have that there, but that garage roof goes up higher than that.
Right, but okay, I'm just trying to get a good, understanding these plans. You've got the glass railing there on the west face, facing the Embarcadero.
Correct.
Okay. And that's a foot 18 inches above the top of the roof there?
Above, yes.
The top of the roof line?
So there'll be stanchions between them, basically holding them.
And then that exceeds the 14-foot height limitation?
Yes. That's where because the glass would become considered a flat rail, and that's where Whitney mentioned that it wasn't quite penciled out in this specific area, kind of like it is in the beach track where we deal with it. But that's where we proposed the glass just to keep it clear. But like I mentioned earlier, that roof could actually go up to 17 feet if it continued the slope, and we'd still get our 42-inch rail, but we added the glass thinking that would kind of spread it out a little bit and not make it so massive.
And then, so I understand why you'd want to have a 9-foot ceiling height in there, but have you looked at an 8-foot ceiling height to drop that?
Yeah, we had looked at that initially. They were just hoping for a 9-foot, basically get the, it would get that floor up a little higher for the deck portion as well, and just to have a little roomier space.
Okay. I think that's most of my concerns.
Thanks.
Any questions? Chris, how much of the existing building is demolished?
Demolished?
Yeah.
We're keeping the exterior. The interior is getting reworked. Basically, okay. I'm sure you saw on the plan.
So that's
the different
same
space.
When we go back and forth, it's the same roof pitch.
It's just the same roof pitch. It's basically the envelope is maintaining.
Okay.
The existing foundation, same thing on the old one. You're going to beef it up.
The existing foundation stays, though we'll need to do the helical piers on it as well because they want it to be uniform. The soils engineers called out that the helical piers need to go throughout.
Okay.
So those we'll just cut in where we need to and add them and then patch back.
Okay. And then I also want to say that I appreciate the photo simulation. It helps me. And I like what you did with like at least trying to be as much as you can respectful of your neighborhood for the view. And I like the flat roof and what you did there.
Thank you.
Yeah, I have a few questions. Currently the lot slopes fairly steeply away from the house, both to the south and to the west.
Yeah.
And the plans show level pavers in those areas.
Mm-hmm.
So how are you going to achieve that? How are you going to get those pavers
To support those pavers, we would need basically a retaining wall along the perimeter there for those pavers, basically just to level off that area. I believe on the elevation I called out not to exceed that over
30 inches.
30 inches, yes. And so we're stepping that front area down to help account for that 30 inches.
And then as you get towards the northern side of the lot, that you have the wooden fence there. That would be outside of the retaining wall or inside the retaining
wall? The new wooden fence we're showing would be at the property line. So it would be outside the retaining wall. And I think the way we have it is basically we have retaining wall and pavers on the southerly portion, and then the fence would start kind of where those end and pick up because that kind of becomes a little more of the backyard area.
So it would be looking from the west, it would be 6 feet tall, and looking from the east, it would be somewhat less than that visually, right?
Correct, yeah, because the property kind of takes a dive, but it'll just be a 6-foot tall fence at the property line at the natural grade.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Okay.
The other question, I understand the helical pier idea. You said you were going to cut into the foundation. You're not going to do offset. You're going to cut into the foundation.
So for the existing areas, we would have to cut in and basically tie it in.
Okay. But that doesn't stabilize the bluff, right?
No, and I don't believe they actually want us to touch the bluff. The key here is that, you know, the bluff kind of stays how it is, and we're making the house self-supportive, basically. And it's actually going to be taking any current forces that the bluff has. It'll be relieving it.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm just looking at the fence that's there now. It looks like that fence has been fairly mobile.
And I don't know if that's the bluff's purpose or if it was the fence itself. But, yeah, I mean, and that's what the geosolutions engineer just mentioned, that the bluff stability, I think at one time some excavation was probably done a lot below as well, and it's just kind of nothing to use as a factor of safety, basically.
And then the other question I've got to ask you, I mean, I've got to, one of the findings that we have to make in order to grant this CUP is that it is not feasible to bring the current structure into conformance with the code. I'm just looking at all the construction that's going. I mean, this is a massive project. It doesn't look to me like there's more than about 6 foot of interior wall that's going to stay in the same place. And that's probably going to be replaced anyway. So I guess I'm just asking, given all of that, given the amount of construction that's taking place, why would it not be feasible to bring this down to one story and put it into conformance with the code?
You know, to do that, part of it would be that they would be losing about 1,200 square feet. So for their layout and what they were hoping to achieve, that doesn't work. But then also you factor in that 1,200 square feet. At the minimum, you're losing $200,000 of value there doing that as well. And then there is the comment, and we've dealt with it on other projects, of if 50% of the properties along that street do extend past it, basically. So there you have the 15-foot setback that we currently have. This one doesn't exceed past the others, so there is the code language that reads if 50% of the houses on that street don't exceed, basically you take the average of their front yard setback.
No, I'm personally.
I guess it's the height is more.
Yeah. Let me just interject. My personal opinion is that probably the front yard setback is conforming.
It'd be the height constraint.
Right.
I think in all reality, if the first floor, if that floor came off, the whole thing would kind of get leveled and we'd be starting new. So we would be demolishing an existing structure, and we were trying to kind of just maintain what was there.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay. Any other questions? Okay. Then we'll bring it back for discussion. Who would like to jump in on this?
Well, I'll start it off, and my biggest concerns are the height, the extra heights that we're dealing with, you know, above the 14 foot that's in that 50 foot setback. I would love, you know, if cost wasn't an issue, or, you know, I would love to have them take that down to a single story and get back into the acceptable height limitation. But this is a, you know, this was built before those codes were in place. So I think I don't have a problem, you know, I don't have a problem with allowing the existing two-story to remain. I do have concerns, you know, like I said, over the screening of that HVAC unit. I think that would clean up that one elevation. And it's just, you know, I'll bring it back to the commission, too, is the 8-foot versus 9-foot ceiling height on that first floor, you know, that requires another foot of height of that railing that's there on that west side. It is transparent, but when the sun hits it, it becomes opaque. You know, I'm just pointing it out. I'm not sure if I have a real strong objection to it, but it is a consideration. And then the other question that we have is the height of the elevator tower. I don't know if that could be lowered and still effectively keep an elevator in there. And if it would, I'd like to have them just explore that, if it is possible to do a low height elevator. But I'm not sure if it is. Chris? That was a question I should have asked you before. I'm sorry.
Yeah, that was something we actually looked at earlier today. The existing roof line dips down lower on that end, and it ends up impacting it to where we definitely needed that additional space to make an elevator work.
Can you move the lifting mechanism to the side and slope the roof of the elevator?
What we were looking at was basically the plate line at that spot right there gets down to close to 7 feet. The existing plate line. So that's where we're bumping it up basically to try to get like an 8 to 8.5 foot plate right there for that elevator. So I think we would have trouble even getting a car, the elevator car, to fit in that space.
Okay.
While you're here, what if the elevator were moved to a location that's closer to the center of the house where you've got more attic to work with?
It would fit within the height constraints there. It just didn't lay out well that way. So we kind of just tucked it into the corner because it definitely needs to be within the existing footprint to function.
Right.
We have the stairway there right now, but the stairway overlaps with the new and the old space. Basically, as you start your way up, and then you end up in the new space. But the confines of an elevator just took up too much space in that location.
Okay. Thank you. And I'm sorry, if I could just interject, because I'd like to hear your comments on this and everyone else's comments on this. I just want to read Section 1745070A1 of the zoning ordinance. And it says, Embarcadero area between Surf Street and Anchor Street, which is the area we're talking about. In the Embarcadero area between Surf Street and Anchor Street, new development is allowed within the bluff buffer area, which is the area 20 feet landward of the bluff, and may be stepped down the bluff face, provided the development shall not require the construction of protective devices or retaining walls that would alter natural landforms or impede public access. So the question I have is, and I'd really like input on this from everybody, how do we deal with all of these retaining walls in light of that prohibition?
Well, there's a key phrase in there, I think, is public access.
No, I agree. Yeah. Public access is not an issue. It's that would alter natural landforms or impede public. And I agree, public access is not on the table here.
Yeah.
Natural landforms, maybe.
You know, you've got a point on the multiple 30-inch retaining walls that are being put in there to retain that. And that is a point of contention. I mean, you've got... And I can see it as stabilizing the bluff, but I can also see it as increasing their level patio area, their level paving area, where that may not be allowed according to that ruling.
And I guess the question I kind of had reading that, and really I'm going back and forth on it. Do we consider what we're dealing with here to be a natural landform, or has this area been modified so much that we're just dealing with wherever somebody piled the dirt when they built something else? I guess that's kind of the question that I have.
They did cut away they cut away for the parking lot there, which then allowed the erosion to happen. So, you know, I don't really have a strong issue on that either way. I'm more concerned with the built, you know, what they're proposing as far as the height limitations above that 14 foot. So,
you know, I kind of looking at it more a little bit holistically, I think that we have to take into account the drainage as well. Mm-hmm. And for safety, and, you know, where we start thinking about like more severe storms and, you know, climate change and all that, we have to take into account. I like what he said. He said it's kind of relieving the stress off the bluff if you put a little bit more like foundation in there. So I don't, other than, I'm not really making a comment there or against regarding the code. I'm just merely saying that I think it's for more of a safety and a drainage issue, taking a look at that holistically as well.
Anything else? You can go ahead, Michael.
Well, I'm trying to understand the impact of the addition. I mean, I understand the existing construction, in theory, is there. for the two-story part, and I think it actually is going to be much more attractive with that little deck section built to the south on the upper floor. It relieves the mass of the building pretty substantially. I actually think, professionally, I like the idea of trying to get the HVAC inside, because with the sea air, the external exposure of any piece of equipment is significantly higher, and it might allow you to break it down into components that might be easier to get your ductwork through if you looked at another solution. You know, with what Commissioner Lohr said about the heights, I guess that the size of the deck is a little hard for me to read. I'm not understanding exactly what the condition is between the place where the skylight is, and there's a certain line in the Exhibit E. Can you go to that one, Whitney? It's not doing. There's a line in the deck, Chris.
What we have there is a raised ceiling on the lower floor to account for the stairs and the skylight, and so that's not deck space, basically.
So it's upraised to near the...
Yeah, so it's not above the height limit, but it's basically to give it a higher ceiling in that area around the staircase,
mm-hmm.
and it gives it an area for the skylights as well.
I mean, if you look at the lower plan, you've got a zone along the south, or rather the west edge, that you can get lots of different types of articulation that go all the way up to 14 feet, so... You know, and the 9 feet is passing above, shower, tub, closets. I'd be open to talking more about that, because I think with the using the existing two-story house in a place where normally we'd be building one story, that's already getting a pretty good benefit, and to ask for a benefit of any kind on the other side, I don't think is realistic when we've got height issues all over the city coming before us. And even though it's a glass rail, I think it would be nice to make sure everything fits. It's not as if that's a sloped roof area. It's really a flat roof area everywhere, except for a few pieces around the perimeter. So I'd be willing to talk about that one with Commissioner Lohr some more.
Okay. I tend to agree with both Commissioner Lucas and Commissioner Lohr in terms of given the fact that we have a non-conforming use, we have a use which is unusually impactful in the area to start out with, I think it's reasonable to try and minimize the impact elsewhere. And so I certainly would look at the ceiling height issue as has been suggested. I would also agree with the relocating the HVAC unit, and I would like to see the elevator relocated as well to eliminate that extra height. I realize that the additional chimney is also a further incompatibility. But I really don't have too much of a problem with that. And a lot of my feeling on this, it has to do with the fact that eventually something's going to be built on that lot below you, which is going to really change the impact in terms of people who are on the Embarcadero. I also have a problem, however, with the patio extending out into the right-of-way. That's right... Because I think that is potentially a very valuable right-of-way to the city. The sidewalk there right now is only 4 feet wide. Eventually, I think as Morro Bay grows, as the Embarcadero becomes busier, I think eventually additional pedestrian access and a wider sidewalk in that area is going to be necessary. I also think that, you know, just being up in that area, I think that area, there's a lovely view from that area, and I think that's a potential site for street furniture. I think it's a potential site for one of the little mini parks like we have discussed so vigorously in the past downtown. So I just don't think that is, that particular right-of-way is one that we ought to have encroached on. I know you say that this is not an uncommon situation, but that's why there's a conditional use permit. These things have to be evaluated on an individual basis, and I think that's a site which is potentially very, very valuable to the public. The retaining walls, I think we have a code that's not very well written in that particular area. And I have to say, in this particular case, in this particular location, without setting a precedent for any place else, I do think that the natural landform that may have been there once has been severely degraded, and I don't know what we'd be protecting by enforcing that particular section of the code. So I'm willing to say that this would not impact natural landforms and allow that to go ahead. In terms of neighborhood compatibility, I think that because a number of members of the public spoke to that issue, the issue of neighborhood compatibility, what I would like to say to that is that I think you can see that the commission has a concern for that. I think you can see that we're looking at that. I think that I do think that this whole issue of neighborhood compatibility is a dialogue that needs to be had, okay, rather than addressing it on a case-by-case-by-case basis, that we need to put down some guidelines for ourselves and for the public as well. So that's what I'd like to see. I'd like to see the HVAC removed from the roof. I don't really care if it's on the surface or on the or in the attic. I don't have a problem with the new chimney. I would like to see that the roof dropped a foot, and I would like to not have the front patio encroaching into the setback. So those would be sort of the conditions that I would want.
Can I ask you to clarify whether you're talking about encroaching into the setback or into the easement? It's actually extending out past the property line, the way I'm reading it. So,
the front setback, the setback along Marina Street,
the right of way,
the right of way.
Yeah, not the setback, but the right of way.
Correct. I'm sorry.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you for the clarification. So those are kind of the things. And I would like to say that for myself in the future, and I have to say again, I'm very influenced. This is an individual evaluation project. So this is a situation where we as a commission get to look at an individual project and separately. Okay. I have to say, if this were in a different location, or if this were not in an area where I believe the visual impact will be substantially changed by development in the future, okay, I'd be looking much more carefully at the question of whether or not bringing this into conformance is in fact feasible, and whether that's a condition that we can actually make under the circumstances. So I'm just saying that for the future. Any other disagreements, arguments?
The only comment I wanted to make is I was looking at this a little bit closer as you were talking about the permeable pavement on the south. If I'm reading the topo correctly, I'm not 100% sure it says what the finished floor of the house is 34.28 or 50, 34? Yeah. 34.28. And so if I'm going down a couple steps outside, that's going to be something like 33. So the corner topo is 28. Mm-hmm. So that's a, and then the 27 is below. So that's a 5.5 foot retaining wall at that point. When I look at the illustration, we don't really have any scale elements there, but it looks more like it's 2 or 3 feet. You know, so the real impact of that corner, as you look from the Embarcadero up at the house, is if that corner is a 5 foot retaining condition to create that patio to the south, that's a significant impact. Now they've landscaped it there, which I think helps. And I don't disagree with Dr. Taft that the landform's been changed quite a bit, and stabilizing the top actually helps stabilize the hill in some ways with the runoff conditions being taken care of. But that's a pretty good retaining wall on the corner there. And if it's brought back in, I think it helps mitigate some of its size by having more landscape capacity in that zone. Because something does happen with that as a public access, that's a pretty significant structural condition to modify to make the sidewalk longer, wider, to go down to the Embarcadero. And since that's that first block, that's not an unreasonable consideration to think about.
Commissioner Lucas?
Yeah.
There's also the condition on the west face where at the property line, you're looking at a 26-foot elevation. And with the 34-foot first floor, finished floor, you know, you're essentially looking at 7.5, 8 feet to finish floor. So I think that's the, I mean, that's the condition I think is the most critical. Do we want to open up for public comment and have the architect address that again?
Yeah, I wouldn't be opposed to that.
Okay. Would you?
Yep. Part of this actually gets back to the interpretation of the code that Mr. Teff was reading. Early on, I had talked with staff and asked for an interpretation on that, and was instructed that the 8.2 section involves area outside of this section. So that addresses the being able to rework that area. Though if it gets determined differently, I mean, if we have to lose the port, that 4 to 7 foot, I think you had mentioned cutting off 4 feet of that section there, or add more steps coming out of that that room, that's a possibility. But the interpretation when we were basing the design off of was that the section 1745070A2 applied to existing development within the bluff buffer outside of the designated Embarcadero area.
Right. We're not talking about A2. I think the concern, as I heard it, and you guys correct me if I'm wrong, I think the concern that we all have is the height of the retaining wall.
Well, and that's where the A2 would have allowed us to rework the grade right there a little bit. For the more makes sense for that
part. A2 is...
What was the section you had read?
A1,
that's...
A1, but I think we've decided that the retaining walls are acceptable because...
Yeah.
But the question is a visual one in terms of their height.
And that's where I noted the 30-inch max, because that is all we could do at that point because of the distance we are to the property line. So if we need to achieve that by adding more steps out of that door, that's basically what we would have to do to lower it down.
Okay.
Because of the proximity to the property line as well. Once you get past the setback, you can't have anything over the 30-inch mark from natural grade.
Okay, Chris.
Could you tell us where the note is that says 30 inches?
It's on elevation. On the elevations on A3.1, on the south elevation. You're looking at something pretty small.
Oh, okay. Okay.
So we have a 30-inch max there that we'd have to adhere to anyways just because of the proximity to the property line.
So where would you start that 30-inch from? Would you start it from the 25-foot topo or the 26-foot topo?
You know, it depends on where this gets pulled back to, if we need to pull that back or not. But if we start at the 26, then, yeah, we would be adding more steps out of that
okay.
doorway.
So if essentially, if you could actually terrace this at 30, you know, at
we could
30
break
inch,
it up as well, yeah.
But we'd want to, I mean, to the staff, would there be any minimum horizontal distance on that, on each terrace? I mean, if it's one thing to terrace it, you know, every 8 feet or 5 feet, it'd be another thing if you terraced it every 6 inches.
I don't know if we intend to fully terrace it, or maybe to basically have a decent sized landing outside the door and then just step down to one consistent height that would achieve the 30 inches at the edge.
Okay.
So that way it kind of, once we start terracing it, it might just break it up to where it's not that usable.
Yeah. I just hate to see a 30-inch retaining wall and then a foot further back another 30-inch retaining wall.
Yeah.
It'd read all as one.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And at some point you need a railing.
That's part of the magic number as well as the 30-inch.
In terms of the pavers along the side of the house, along the west elevation, that
mm-hmm.
pathway, that would then be terraced down to the same level as
if
the...
If we'd have to step down, and if we can't get it to work, we would just get rid of those, basically.
Uh-huh.
But if we had to step down to those to get that at a lower level to make the walkway around the back.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Okay, so we'll bring it back. So let me throw this out, guys. Do we want to put that as a condition that there won't be any retaining walls higher than 30 inches?
We've had some theoretical discussion here. they need to work some things out, but if we just kind of put that in as a requirement, then they'll work around it.
Yeah, I wouldn't have a problem with that. They're agreeable to it, and it makes sense to so that that doesn't read as a massive retaining wall from Marina Street, not even from Embarcadero, but from Marina Street. Because at some point there will be a building or a structural in front of it, but there won't be a structure in front of it on the Marina side. So, okay, so I guess we've got our considerations, unless staff has some other consideration, is which structures do we allow at which heights? And do we allow, on the proposed drawing, they're actually, you know, running into the right-of-way on their proposed landscaping. Do we allow that, or do we, you know, recommend that they step it back to their property line? So
yeah, I can't get a visual on the right-of-way issue. Can maybe someone, we have a discussion on what exactly we're talking about on, you know,
okay.
potentially.
If you look at the front, mm-hmm. the first page of their mm-hmm. plans,
yeah,
and on the drawing to the left, so the furthest left drawing, you'll see the heavy dark dotted line on Marina Street.
Mm-hmm.
That's their property line.
Yeah.
The proposed pavers and retaining wall closer to Marina Street is in the public right of way. So at minimum that would require an encroachment permit, and as Commissioner Teft suggested, that is a prime consideration for widening the sidewalk and ADA access down to the Embarcadero and all of that. So if you know, what is our recommendation?
We're talking about
maybe
pulling it back to the property line.
Pulling it back
to the
property line.
That's what I was suggesting.
Okay.
I mean, not only widening the sidewalk, but that's also a relatively steep. I mean, it's not as steep as some of them, but it's so that might be a place that you want a sidewalk that actually meanders
right.
a little bit rather than going straight down. I just
The skateboarders would love it.
We could even bank it a little bit. Yeah, I personally would like to see that pulled back out of the right of way.
Yeah. Okay. Do we have? Are we set for a motion or?
Maybe. Do you have some conditions that you've been sort of putting together?
Yes, and I would like to ask clarification on a few points, but let's go to retaining walls. No retaining walls shall exceed 30 inches in height. Okay, with that one.
Could we put a linear dimension on the between retaining walls too? Just in case, so we don't have multiple retaining walls stacked.
Right.
Yeah.
With a minimum of 5 foot between each wall.
Okay. Yeah. And not necessarily just for this project, but kind of to set.
I wouldn't normally let, you know, development come forward with stepped retaining walls that were a foot apart. I mean, you really need to have quite a distance between them, and you want to plant between them to, you know, skewer the walls if you're stepping them to address what would otherwise be one massive wall.
Right. Just so we're clear.
Yeah. No.
Can I ask him one more question? These are wood burning fireplaces.
I don't think you're allowed to do that anymore.
No.
If they're gas, you can do a horizontal vent, couldn't you?
Correct. On the lower ones, we went ahead and did the horizontal vent, and we showed the one on the upper floor, kind of just to break up the roof line when you look up from the Embarcadero. The one that's at the peak of the roof, that's an existing one that is all the current vent pipes go into that. So that's one that we mentioned we could get rid of. Though you'll see vent pipes sticking through the roof where they pop out, but currently they're all routed to that location.
Okay. And Dr. Teff, are you also suggesting to drop that 8 foot ceiling? I mean, 9 foot ceiling to 8 feet. And
well, I don't know if we can specify that because that's inside the house. But
that lowering that railing, that upper deck, right?
Right.
So is that the way they'll do it?
Currently that upper railing goes up to what? Do you have it?
I think it extends about 2 feet above the required 14-foot height limit.
Okay, so we could simply say that neither the roof nor the railing in that area will extend higher than 15 feet, and then they can deal with it however they want to.
Okay. Okay, good.
Okay, and again, just for clarification, right now the condition reads the glass panel railings at the edge of the roof deck shall not exceed 16 feet in height, and you're saying change that to 15 feet, correct?
Right. And it should say neither the roof line nor the railing.
And our purpose is not to eliminate that whole deck, but to allow them to build a deck, but just to bring it down to an eight-foot ceiling height.
Or, you know, make the attic space smaller or whatever. Again, you know,
it's... Well, you just got structure there. Yeah. It's a foot of TGIs.
Right.
So that's pretty minimal.
But I don't know what...
minimal.
But again, underneath, these are largely service spaces. The feature bathroom is beyond that upper deck limit and can have roof articulation. The master bedroom could have roof articulation up to 14, 15 feet. I think it's just a matter of it may have to change its footprint and take advantage of some of the less prized spaces maybe being a little shorter. And then you can still take into account your stair with a pop-up to get the height.
Can we make a comment or are you in discussion?
We're pretty informal. You can make a comment.
I'm just curious on that. If the railing height for the glass is an issue, if the roof were to continue up to that height and our floors stay how they are, is that okay? Because it would be below the 17-foot allowed for that slope.
I think the consensus here is we're only going to allow 15 feet.
Okay.
Yeah.
This is a conditional use permit.
Okay, 15 foot for a pitched roof as well then at that point.
Right.
Yeah. Okay, was your comment something different?
No. David Cost again. Just want to address you guys, and we've been at this now for 3 years trying to make it conform to what we were told. One of the reasons for the 9-foot ceilings is because we're a real advocate of ceiling fans throughout the house. And so our involvement here, we were planning to have ceiling fans in almost all the rooms hung down, not just that short stuck up against the top where you got to dodge it, but at least have some air movement would move. Because Morro Bay is really natural. We're trying to set this thing up so the natural flows will go through the house to vent off. The upstairs, we're setting windows that we can leave open so it would vent off. We set all the windows so we can get that breeze coming through. And the key thing that we were having was these 9-foot ceilings. We were going to have some transoms in the interior doors to allow air to be moving through these rooms. Even though we closed our bedroom doors, we could have air movement between these rooms, through the laundry room and all this stuff downstairs to keep that flow moving and keep the fans going. So that was one of the main reasons for buying that space, is for the fans to move and to allow those transoms above doors to keep the air movement through the house so everything works, because it will have forced air in this house. So we need to have the air to move. So that's the main reason for buying that space. It's really structural and ventilation and the whole package. So thank you.
Okay. Well, we do have the conundrum of that is allowed by code, that if they do a sloped roof there, they could go up to the 17 feet. Is that correct, Whitney?
That's absolutely correct. And right now it ends at 14 feet.
Right.
It ends at 14 feet.
It is allowed by code, but, I mean, this is right. A conditional use permit
right.
process.
Yeah, it's
and it's up to us to balance, you know, the pros and the cons, you know, mm-hmm. and come up with the decision. So I'm not advocating one decision or another. I'm just saying this is a decision we need to make now, you know.
And the 17 feet is for pitched roofs. The deck right. is flat.
Right.
So.
Right. So.
The point for the conditional use permit is directly on point. It's not a pitched roof. It's flat. It's a deck. So.
But if they extended the roof line, if they extended the roof at the pitch section outside the deck area, you know, change the pitch so it's a steeper pitch, they could run that up to where they hit the 42-inch line,
mm-hmm.
and essentially that would be blocking out the neighboring views, you know, and mm-hmm. still they could keep their 9-foot ceiling heights and the mm-hmm. deck height.
But if we condition it to be no higher than 15 feet, then
yeah,
we can't. I mean, to me, the question, to me, and I want you guys to weigh in.
But right.
To me, what we're looking at here is he has a perfectly valid reason for wanting to do this, and I understand what he's saying. And
right.
there's some concern on the part of the community that maybe that's too high. You know, so I guess what we're trying to do here is balance one against the other, and that's why we get paid the big bucks.
and I was, you know, I was the one that brought this up, and I can see it. And once again, I can see it both ways. You know, I can see it from the owner's side, and I can also see it from the neighbor's side. So I, you know, let's have a little more discussion on this.
I think we're back in with the commission now. You know, one question I have too, though, however, is what's the height of these peaks right here? That may be over 16. The peaks that are facing the ocean, the two gables that come out.
Right. Okay.
I mean, I'm sure it's here. I just was.
No, that's not it. I'm looking at
because if they're already above 15 feet, then we're...
They look like they're at below the 14-foot height limitation.
Looks like they're right at 14 feet.
Okay.
They're higher than 14 feet.
Oh, no,
okay.
You can look at the elevation and see where the 14-foot line is. They stick up approximately 15 too, because those can go up to the 17-foot limit per code. And that was kind of the design there. So those, again, are the greater than the 4 and 12 slope.
And those really do help break up the mass of the building, so.
Okay. But all I'm saying is if, and it appears that they, it, all I'm saying is it appears that the peak of those two gables is about a foot higher than the roof approaching the deck as it's currently drawn. So in terms, other than the glass panels, in terms of what's solid, those are probably more in the view of the community than that wall going across. So maybe bringing that wall down doesn't really accomplish anything. See what I'm saying?
Yeah, I follow what you're saying. When I look at it, I think the owner did bring up a good point with ventilation and the 9-foot ceiling. It makes sense. And I have a feeling from a visual standpoint, having that extra foot with those glass panels and combine that with what the neighbors around have said, I don't really have a issue with the height of that.
I think we're making a dangerous precedent when we go into a bluff area and change the heights. I think the lower height's a valid point when there's a two-story house and ample room to develop a roof deck over what are service areas down below. And the bedrooms have opportunities for multi-point ventilation coming across, and I guess I just don't agree with that point. I think the owner has, greatly benefited from buying a two-story house in a one-story zone, and now we're talking about whether we're going to grant them additional height for the part that's new. I just don't see it.
So what do you think, Jerry? What's your, where do you come down finally?
Okay, after going back and forth and being on the fence and on the railing, so to speak, I think I got to agree with Commissioner Lucas. You can do a transom window and an eight foot ceiling. So I would like to see it a foot lower.
Okay, I'm gonna agree. I think that. I think when you have a non-conforming structure and you're putting a large addition on it, there's a considerable obligation to try and mitigate what's there, and I don't think this is an unreasonable aspect of mitigating it.
The two-story structure is really the part that's incongruent. The rest of the house, I think, is actually pretty fabulous, and actually the single-story structure, in fact, makes the two-story even more compatible with what the applicant did. I think they've done a great job of breaking up the mass. So, leaving the two-story structure there, and just restricting that height on that, I think that's a reasonable compromise.
And I'd just like to throw this is a little bit off the topic, but I'd just like to throw out that I think one of the best aspects of this project is the windows on the first story, mm-hmm. because that huge blank wall is a real issue right now.
Yeah.
Okay. So does that answer your question in a roundabout way?
I just want to clarify, there will be no height exception for the glass railing, the glass panel railing, is that where you're headed?
Well, I think we're allowing it to 15-foot height.
Okay, so we're still there. The roof line and the glass panel railings will not exceed 15 feet in height. What was your determination, please, on the HVAC system? I mean, that seems
that should be visual impact. That should be put into the into the structure.
Yeah. Are we?
Or in an alternate location.
Yeah. Are we all in agreement on that? Is that pretty consensus?
Yeah.
And the elevator, I think, was another issue.
Yes.
You know, in looking at the plans, it's going to be tough for them to reroute to set that elevator in the two-story structure without raising the height. I'm not as concerned about that. I think that's going to be back into the side. It's back in away from the property line. It's not going to be impacting the neighbor property.
Doesn't increase the overall height of the roof.
It doesn't. It's not going to increase your sight line like this railing would. And I would tend to allow it. It'd be if for some reason he wakes up at 3 o'clock in the morning and has this great idea of how to relocate it and make everything work. Then I would applaud him for that. But I'm not gonna require it. I don't think we should require it.
I agree with you, Jerry.
Yeah, I'm okay with the elevator.
Yeah, I can live with it.
I did want to point out, the way the roof is designed for the one-story section, it looks to me like it's about 650 square feet of deck. Mm-hmm. And it would be a lot easier to let the rooms have higher height and reduce the size of the deck, because that's almost as big as the second floor of the house.
So they can do that. They can do that. Did we have any? Okay, I'm sorry. Go ahead with your.
And my last point for clarification would be chimney heights. It seems to me that you were okay with the chimney west facing onto the Embarcadero side, and I didn't hear if there was concern about the existing chimney on the roof. Is that fine? You're good with that? Or would you like to see that?
They're willing to move the vents to penetrations through the roof, as opposed to ganging them in that central chimney.
Okay, so just to clarify, then you would a condition would be to remove the existing chimney, or yes, no?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm not as concerned with the west-facing one, although it would be nicer if it wasn't there, but I'm not going to push that one.
Well, the only consideration I have on that, and you may think about that, is you're removing you're creating a condition where your solar is not going to work as well as on that west-facing roof because of that chimney. And if it's just venting, if it's just a B vent rather than truly a wood-burning fireplace, and you really don't even need it to that extent. So you may look at it. I'm not going to require it, but you might want to look at that, because that west-facing roof is going to be your prime location for solar panels in the future. Yeah. So.
And one final point on the right-of-way patio. Are you looking for a condition there regarding in the right-of-way, not in the right-of-way? Was there consensus there?
I'm absolutely not in the right-of-way, but we'll talk about it.
Well, the only thing I can see is if they do that, would be with an encroachment permit that would require them to remove it if we have any future development in the right-of-way.
That's how they're framed.
Right.
Yeah, they're required to be removed at their cost, is how the encroachment agreements work.
But then is Public Works going to not do a project because it would require them moving that, you know, just out of the consideration?
No, we would actually probably go the other way. I mean, ultimately, if we wanted to do the project and the requirement was there and they were unwilling to move it, we would move it and lien the home.
Okay.
Lien the property.
Okay. So I'll sidestep to the commission on that.
Are you going to be there's a retaining wall there, so they're going to have to remove that retaining wall and move it back?
Yeah, that's ultimately would be the requirement. I mean, the commission is completely within your authority to request that they move the improvements out of the right-of-way. If they don't, we'll do the encroachment agreement. It'll require the owners to remove it at a future date should the city want it removed, and it'll be at their cost. And if, again, they don't do it, then we would be doing it in leaning the property for that improvement. It gets recorded against the property, so.
I'd just rather not go down that road personally, but you know, I'm going to get you guys comment on that.
I would back you on that. I'm not as strong either way on that, but I would support that.
I agree. I think that if we put it right to the property line, I think that'd be better.
Still gives them a sizable area out front.
Yeah.
Plus, you know what they're going to be on the roof. I mean, that's where they're going to be. Are you?
I'm okay with that.
That's all I have, unless you have something additional.
No, thank you.
Do we know, Whitney, when we look at this image, do we know if the adjacent house was built under these conditions, the contemporary conditions for the zone, this kind of buff one here, stucco one?
I apologize, because I did mean to look into the permit history on that particular site, and I didn't. It's not been that long ago.
Because that would, in theory, that would be the 15-foot height,
right?
If the grades were similar. And it could be the grade here actually falls a hair as you go south.
I'm pretty certain it was built under the same zoning code that we have now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because there you can see how much higher the railing is.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So just to recap, our conditions are there shall be no retaining wall higher than 30 feet and
30 inches. Let's say 30 inches. Yeah.
Thank you. 30 inches and no closer than
the minimum separation of 5 feet.
Minimum, right. Neither the roof line or the railing adjacent to the upstairs deck shall exceed 15 feet in height.
That's what I have here.
The HVAC system will be removed from the roof to an alternate location.
Removed from the roof to an alternate location, you mean under the roof lines? Is that the idea, or
right.
Do I need any? Okay.
Not. Should we say not visible from off-site? Something.
Shall be relocated under the roof lines?
Under the roof line, or are they? I mean, there's units that go in the backyard. There's, you know, I don't care where, as long as it's out of sight.
Oh.
And there shall be no hardscape in the public right of way, aside from the sidewalk and driveway.
So, as far as HVAC or on the ground outside of required setbacks, something like that.
It's kind of like the Embarcadero, no exposed rooftop unit.
Yeah. No, well, no exposed or screened. No rooftop unit, period, right?
Right, okay. There we go.
So with those conditions, do we have the motion?
I'll make a motion to approve... see, resolution PC 07-15 with the added conditions that were just mentioned.
Do we have a second?
I'll second.
Okay. Discussion? Seeing none, we'll call for the question.
That would be me.
That's something you do.
Sorry. Chairman Taft, please.
Aye.
Vice Chairman Lohr.
Aye.
Commissioner Lucas.
Aye.
And last but certainly not least, Commissioner Sadowski.
Aye.
4-0, motion passes.
Sorry you shocked me, Whitney. I never go first.
I technically probably should start with the motion maker, but sometimes I
you gotta shake
just
things
start
up.
With the chairman.
So, unfinished business, we have none. New business, we have nothing on our agenda. Is that correct?
Do we still have our joint meeting? Do we have that scheduled?
March.
You do. It's on the 24th. It starts at 4 o'clock. Here in this building.
So, planning commissioner comments.
Well, are you going to send out an email alert on that?
Just I will certainly do that when I get back to the office tomorrow. I will send you a reminder.
Okay, thank you.
I have a comment on the workshop that we were sent to, and I would like to thank you very much for setting that up. I really enjoyed it and got a lot out of it, and it was very interesting to hear the different what other different areas do in the city, and really enjoyed myself, and I just wanted to thank you very much for setting that up. Thanks.
That's great.
It's fascinating the different environments that different planning commissions operate under. Or within.
It's probably one of the best parts of going to the thing is talking to some of the other commissioners and other staff members from other cities and finding out, you know, one of my standard questions I would ask when I sat down at a table with other folks would be, so what's the issue of the day in your city? You know, I mean, because everybody's got different things going on. So, anyway, good point.
Okay. And Scott, this is your forum.
I got a couple of things. I just was hoping that we will get all of you in attendance at our next Planning Commission meeting. We have a full agenda. We have two appeal items that are on it. One appealing a staff denial and the other appealing a staff approval. You can't win if you're us, I guess. So you get to see those coming forward. We have the bike park on the agenda for the upcoming meeting, so that should be interesting moving forward. And then and I think Whitney has an item on the agenda, too. Do you?
That's one of the appeals.
Oh, here's one of the appeals. Okay.
All right.
There's something else. We have four, but anyway. It's a full agenda. Interesting things on it, including a couple of appeals in the bike park. So, should be a good meeting. Hopefully, you'll all be there.
If there's any of that information that could be disseminated early, that would be greatly appreciated.
I'll do my best.
And just to, I have occasionally just sent out emails to your city email, so I hope, did you all receive, I know Commissioner Tuff didn't, but the reports, the geologic report and SOAS report, so, and Commissioner Lohr, and did you check your city email?
It's still, you know, they show up and then they go away.
Oh, I thought I fixed it when I gave it to you. Bring it back in. I'll look at it again. I thought I had it squared away. I didn't seem to be doing that one.
Yeah, I got my issue resolved in terms of the city email. That's fixed now.
Okay.
Thank you. Okay. So with that, let's just hope that Catherine is out celebrating like heck someplace. And we'll adjourn the meeting and see you all back here in 2 weeks. Thank you.